briefly tonight, because it was at O'Vail that I first heard about the Cork Literary, Bradshaw, the Bradshaw manuscript competition a couple of years ago. And at the time I was thinking, well, I don't have enough poems yet, but I'll try near after, and that's what I did. And once I was long-listed, I started writing like a maniac, and was extremely surprised when I won. I was complete rank 200-1 outsider, I would say. Anyway, this is my first poem is called The Call. I'm not going to do much introducing, but basically The Call is a skin that babies are sometimes born with, a skin over their face, and it's called a call. I get it from my grandmother, this comfort from my head in my hands, chin resting in the heel of an upturned palm, skin over mouth and nose, fingers a mesh to sift the cruel sight, hard word, embarrassment. She was born with a call on her face. The midwife said it was good luck, cut away the membrane, examined its milky translucence, and placed it in a tissue to be kept. Her father sold it to a sailor as a charm against drowning. She saw the worst in others, but her eye for us was softened by the tender veil of her birth. All her life she loved ship on scars. It's my belief she missed part of herself, sold away. Phil was talking about survival, and I lived for many years, and still do, in a fishing community where stories of survival are very common. This poem's called Luck. Corded wrist, thick fingers, set down the pint glass, snatch again at the coil of rope round his ankle as it drags him over the side. This is how we live through survival, telling and retelling how the gear swept him into chest-piercing water, left him helpless from the jolt, how he swung in thick dark, worked his hand loose, worked out which way was up, freed his foot from the noose and climbed up to the surface, the side of the boat like a building, faces of mates high on the rail, waiting for his body to come up. He told them how he did it, the plans in bunk for every type of escape. Look. This is a poem I probably wasn't going to read, but after talking to hearing Gillian, Chris, talking about women waiting, I decided to read this one. It's called Fourth Ten. Sheets overwhelm, mattress a raft riding peaks and troughs. If only I could surface, suck breath, gauge time in coffee cups, reach the call from port, the smell of diesel on his skin. A couple of years ago, I attended a workshop here with Anne-Marie Fife. And I just remember when I was talking to Paul that that one of the poems in the collection started out at that workshop from a question that Anne-Marie Fife posed. So this is called Interior. When we came home, I added two samples of volcanic rock to the line of reminders on the shelf. Tufa, a lumpy light brown cinder, obsidian, dense, black, faceted. We had parted, you for a 3-day trek through the mountains, I to explore the foothills at Lan Manalaga. craters soaked in alchemical colours, smoking lakes fed by geothermal streams, tall tufa shapes menacing at twilight. Back at the hut, I slid into my sleeping bag, awoke to a dark so thick it pushed out the walls and took me with it, at once small as a wormhole and wide as the curve of star-netted space. I am a worm curled round the axis of an astrolabe. Imperceptibly, I revolve. I return to you down lava ash roads, on a bus built to stand the force of rivers. In Reykjavik, you pressed a chip of obsidian into my hand, described deep gorges and glaciers, a plateau of black scree, murderous underfoot, how each stone caught the light. Later, in the short dark hours, we drank beer in the backyard of a bar, a nugget of darkness in my palm, while a singer opened her throat. This poem is about the midwife who delivered me, whose name was Nurse Waterhouse. Street lamps nicotine stain the fog, rain oils silent flagstones. She walks, belted in blue gabardine, with regulation bag, past the Salvation Army and St. Mark's, keeping an ancient rule. She chants the names of newborns in the council houses, the no complications, stillborns, the hard births, recalls the worst as crucifixions, a washing in blood. She hymns to the commonplace, worships pulsing flesh. I don't want to be hogging the mic, so I'll just do, this one's called Papyrus Fragment. And I suppose really says it all about, you know, about the desire to be published and how important it is to get your voice heard. It's actually a response to an exhibit in the Chester Beatty Library in Dublin. Papyrus Fragment. A buff brown moth hovers on temperature-controlled neon, displays paper-thin wings, ragged margins of ancient grass, speckled with alpha, omega, nu. It darts, bears a blaze of underwing to plain sight, this endless, fragile need to make a mark, to come to light.